1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Lord, I just thank you for your body, Lord. I thank you for what you did do for us at the cross, Lord. I thank you for the healing that comes in your body. And Lord, I just pray that you this year, that we see healing, and Lord, that we see less sickness in this house, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning." Lord, I just thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood that you poured out for our salvation, for our redemption. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that your redemption still pours out in this house. And we pray, amen. You can take the cup. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, every year in the fall, I begin to pray about the new year. Pray about what's coming next. And usually by the end of October, maybe early November, I have a pretty clear direction for the next year. And 2025 was no different. I began to pray that and God showed me a few things for this year and showed me a few things that we needed to emphasize. And one of the things that I felt like that God was really felt it impressed on me that we need to emphasize and focus on missions. You know, we call ourselves a missions church, and we've done a lot for missions in the last few years especially, but I just felt like that this year we needed to emphasize it a little bit more. And so you're going to see more missionaries than what we've seen in the past, more than likely, and we're going to highlight missions projects a little bit more across the globe and across the street, because I believe that missions start here in our community just as important as those across the globe, right? And so in 2026, we're going to do that. And we're going to look at that. And all of that starts, that missions emphasis starts today with our first fruits offering. First fruits has been something that I tell you every year. It sets the tone for the year. And I remember in 2021 when we were getting ready to take up the first fruits offering, leading up to that and the weeks prior to the first of the year, I remember talking to the board. James, you may remember this. We had a project that was $3,500, and we talked about, would we even get $3,500 in that offering? We truly did talk about that. And how we talked about that if the $3,500 didn't come, that we were going to go ahead and fund that project regardless. And so it was to build a tabernacle in Cambodia was the project. And I remember when I got the phone call and Irene told me that $12,000 came in, I asked her if she was sure that that was right. And there have been missionaries that we have sowed into projects since 2021 that we've seen countless things happen. And one of the missionaries that first year was Tony Ballard, who was here for Missionary Christmas just a few weeks ago. That tabernacle in Cambodia, he was the one doing that project. And when that money came in, we sent him, and I said, "Do you have any other project?" And he did. And so we sent more money to him, and we sent some to other missionaries too. And over the years, I would call him and ask him, what's a project that you've got coming up? What's something that we might be able to help you with?" And I debated on whether or not to even tell this, because he shared it with me, and I was just, I don't know, I'm just weird, like, I don't know, if about talking about some of this stuff. But he told me that our church was one of his top supporters since he's been on the field. And from 2021, First Fruits Offering, through last year, we gave almost $12,000 to his ministry. And all of that stuff has been happening in Zambia because of that. They've seen more tabernacles built in Zambia through that time that he's been there. We were able to help him with building the tabernacle shop there in Zambia, which was one of the first on continent. They would have to go on site and build these tabernacles, and it would take them weeks. Now they're able to fabricate the shop before they ever get to the location, so it only takes them days to put the tabernacle up. It's been amazing, some of the things that have happened there. I got to be a part of that and see what we've done. We've been to that tabernacle shop, Kendon. We got to see a plot of ground that we paid for that a church is now there, and we got to see that tabernacle erected, and we got to see people saved. And the guy who sat across and drank the whole day while we were building and made fun and laughed at us came over in the service that night when we were dedicating the tabernacle, and God touched him and changed him. We've sent money to Belize and Ecuador and Vietnam and Mozambique and Armenia and the Gambia. We helped with it last year. We helped with a project in Egypt, and we've helped with many projects with Rural Compassions through our First Fruits Offering. And one of the projects that we helped them with was purchasing a box truck and trailer. And that box truck and trailer has been used multiple times in 2025 to bring product right here to our community. First Fruits sets the tone for the year. Every year, I have people tell me stories of God doing the incredible because of this offering, because of what happens here. We've seen people pay off cars and houses early. We've seen people get jobs that they weren't qualified for. We've had tires covered on warranty when they shouldn't have. We've had things happen and things go on, and it all ties back to this day. It sets the tone. In 2024, God showed up. On December 23rd, our building was paid off. And it was because of First Fruits. Because we sowed into a ministry on First Fruits that then sowed back into us. The First Fruits principle is powerful. The first belongs to God. It's the first fruits. We find this principle throughout Scripture. We can give Him the first of our time, the first of our finances. That's what tithing is. It's giving God our first and saying, God, I'm giving you my first and trusting you to redeem the rest. It always requires faith to tithe, because it's giving God first before we see if we have enough. People don't like it when the preacher talks about money. If I came out and I said that I was going to do a series on tithing, half of y'all wouldn't show up for the rest of that time. Y'all laugh, but it's the truth. I will watch if we start doing a series on giving. I will watch the numbers decline. It's a biblical principle. I don't like talking about it, but it's a biblical principle. In fact, Jesus talked about money, giving, in 16 of his 38 parables, almost half of them. From a biblical standpoint, I would say that it was pretty important for us to understand money and how to handle it. Money is actually a test from God, and how you handle money will reveal volumes about your priorities and affections and loyalties. And I've heard it said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. How we handle money dictates many of the blessings that you will or will not experience. Did you know that there are 500 verses concerning prayer in the Bible? And 500 verses concerning faith. We would all agree that prayer and faith are important, right? They're important things in our walk. There are over 2,000 verses concerning money or possessions in the Bible. Four times as many as prayer and faith. I'm going to venture to say that it's pretty important. Giving is just as much about the tithe as above the tithe. What is a tithe? A tithe literally means 10% of the increase. So for every dollar, a dime of that is tithe. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heavens and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. Will a man rob God?" The people of Israel were failing to give God what was his, and they weren't bringing the tithe to the Lord. They were not living a blessed life. And depending on who you subscribe to, statistics say that only 5% of Christians tithe, giving at least 10%. Barna puts that number at 7%. To put it in perspective, 4 out of 40 people, 2.8 of them give the tithe. To be honest, that's pretty shocking. But I think about the people who I know who don't tithe or only tithe when it's convenient to them. Not here, but somewhere else. I had a guy tell me one time, "I'm going on vacation next week, so I won't have to tithe next week." It's like, really? I'm going to tithe whether I'm here or not. Whether I'm at church on Sunday or not, I'll either bring it the next week or I'll pay through tithe.ly. We have online giving, if you didn't know. But I'm going to tithe. If you come to me because you're having financial difficulties, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, are you tithing? And if you're not, then I'm going to ask why, and then I'm going to tell you to start tithing. It doesn't make sense, but it works. It's important. It's not something that's new or just started either. It's not something that the church created, although that's what you would think if you listen to enough people on TikTok. It's been around since Abraham. 500 years before the law was handed down to Moses, we see Abraham give a tithe. In Genesis 14, verse 18, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' And then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything." If you understand giving, you have to understand the principle of the first fruit, the firstborn of the tithe. Exodus 13 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Dedicate to me the firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both human and animal belongs to me. You must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to him. A firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But you do not buy it back. If you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son." So the firstborn either had to be sacrificed or redeemed. There was no other option. The clean sacrifices and the unclean were redeemed. With that in mind, you have to look at the New Testament. When John the Baptist sees Jesus in John 1:29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" With that declaration, John said everything Jesus came to do. He came to be the Lamb, the clean, without a blemish, without sin, perfect in every way. And here he was, born with born with a sin nature, and we are broken people, unclean. Yet Jesus was the redemption for us. He was God's tithe. God gave his tithe in faith before we believed. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We can't wait for the blessings before we tithe. It doesn't work that way. It always requires faith to tithe because it's giving God first before we see if we have enough. Not only the firstborn, but the first fruits belong to Him. Exodus 23:19 says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." He says, bring the first of the first fruits to the Lord. Not the tenth of the first, but the first of the first. He says, bring the first of the first into the house of the Lord. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This passage suggests that tithing to the Lord's house involves honoring the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of our increase. And when we honor God with our first fruits, He will redeem the rest so that our barns are full and our vats are overflowing. And this morning, we're going to receive a first fruits offering. And everything that comes in today, in person or online, will go to missions. And I believe, without a doubt, that this sets the tone for the year as the ushers come. There are a couple things that I'm praying for with this first fruits. And I encourage you to name this first fruit. If there's something that you want to see happen this year, and you give this offering, I encourage you to name it. But there are a couple things that I'm praying for with this first fruits. I'm praying that we see an increased awareness of missions this year. I pray that giving as a whole increases. I pray that the debt that we have here at the church will be paid off. And I pray that in this body that you will see rapid debt reduction in your own house. And I'm believing for signs and miracles that will follow in this place. And I've told you, I've never asked you to give in an offering that I'm not willing to give in. And I've prayed and I've asked God what He would have us to give. And I hope that you've done the same. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for first fruits. I thank you for blessing us after the first fruits. Lord, I thank you for what you've done over the years, Lord. I thank you for that first year in 2021 where you showed up. And Lord, I thank you every year since then that you've shown up in this time and you've blessed this church. And we've seen things happen that are beyond understanding, God. Lord, I pray that it continues today. Lord, I pray that you bless the gift and the giver today. Lord, that today as we give our first fruits to you, Lord, I pray that you bless it over and above. I pray that we see debt reduction in the house and as individuals. Lord, I pray that this year that we have a new awareness of missions across the street and across the globe. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you today. The Lord bless you as you give this offering. Believing that we'll hear testimonies of what God does because of this in the weeks that follow. I'm believing for that. I'm believing for that. I told you that in the fall that I began to pray and ask God what He would have us to do in the new year, and I really do feel like that missions was something He told me that we needed to emphasize on this year. And there are some other things that He said. As I was praying about just this month and just like where He wants us to go at the beginning of this year, and I felt And I felt it stronger and stronger. The closer we got to this weekend, the stronger it felt. And I tried to reason and talk myself out of it multiple times. I had multiple conversations with Chelsea over the last 3 or 4 days of why we didn't need to do this. But I want to encourage you to be here tonight, because we're going to do something different. But I truly feel like it's something we need to do. I tried to talk myself out of it. And finally, yesterday, about 5:30, I made the call and said, after I got off the phone, I told Chelsea, well, it's too late. We're doing it. Can't back out now. But I encourage you to be here. And I know that as soon as I tell you what we're going to do, that there are some of you that are going to say to yourself, well, I can do that at home. And you're right. You probably can. But it won't be as effective. I encourage you to be here tonight, because we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do a night of worship. I feel like that as we're coming into this new year, and we talked about it last week, we've got people that are dealing with junk. That are just dealing with stuff. And we sing a song that how do we fight our battles, and we fight it through worship. But how often do we actually let ourselves worship? I am glad that I'm not standing on the stage during worship, because you people would drive me crazy. I feel like that we need to worship. So tonight we're going to have a night of worship and testimonies. There's some testimonies that have been shared with me over the last few weeks, and I want to share them with you, and I'm going to have some of those people share them with you. But I'm believing that God is going to move tonight. And if you've decided already, since I said that you're not coming, then you're going to miss out. You're going to miss whatever God has for you. And there may be something going on in your life tonight, that's going on in your life right now, and tonight God could do something to change that. That God can move in a way that you haven't experienced. I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. We're not going to be out here slinging shoes or socks or anything like that. Y'all start doing that, I'm going to ask you to sling your socks somewhere else. We're not going to have somebody run and jump in the baptism, diving in there, because there's a screen there to protect them from getting there. We've all seen those YouTube videos. But we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to talk about things that God has done in our lives. And there's going to be something that happens because of this. I'm believing, because I'm telling you, I tried to talk out of doing this. But we're going to worship and we're going to pray. There's going to be a few things that we're going to pray for specifically. But I don't want to wait until tonight. I don't want to wait until tonight to pray. So if you have something going on, if you have a situation in your life that you need God to move in, I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for you now. So I'm asking everyone that would to stand to your feet. And if you've got something going on in your life that you need God to move in, I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Whether it's a healing, whether it's a financial need, whether it's something else, but you need God to move in a situation or circumstance, you need clarity, you need direction, I want to pray with you. And so I'm not going to just stand up here and labor on and on. But if you need prayer today, I want to pray with you now. I'm going to pray with you tonight, but I want to pray with you now. If you need prayer, I want to invite you to come. And let's believe that God does something. Lord, I just thank you right now. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are coming into this in this altar. Lord, we're believing. We're believing for something more today. Lord, we're believing for something more. And Lord, I pray that you move in this house, that you touch the ones that are responding, God. Lord, I pray that no person leaves this place the same way they came in, but they leave this place renewed and refreshed. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you today. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so. This altar is open.